Go to Genesis chapter 2, all right? Genesis chapter 2. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. And you pray for me this morning, I'll pray for you, all right? Genesis chapter 2. If you believe the Bible, you don't have a problem believing that a very, very powerful God created the entire universe from absolutely nothing, put it into existence. He did it in 6 days, and according to the Bible, He did it 6,000 years ago. You believe that? See, that's what the word means. It means, yes, sir, I believe it. Now, science will try to tell you something different. They will make fun of you. They will ridicule you. You young people, listen to me. Maybe your teachers will poke fun at you or make comments about you because you believe the Bible. You stand strong. When I was, I'll never forget, when I was in 10th grade, my high school biology teacher, who also owned a bar and a strip club, okay, that just doesn't go with me, amen? He was lost, didn't believe the Bible, didn't believe in God. He was a biology teacher, and the question came up about creation or evolution. And he said, I tell you what, we'll have a debate. And about half the class sided with evolution, and there were several of us that sided on creation, and they, I guess because I had a big mouth, they said, Hoggard, you're the guy. You're going to present our case. And so I just presented what the Bible said. I believe it. I believe what this book said. And if you believe that God made you and fashioned you out of the dust of the earth, out of the dirt in the ground, then you also believe that God imparted something to you that nothing else in His creation has. Dogs don't have it. Fish don't have it. Zebras and giraffes and gorillas don't have it. Mankind has it. Man has a soul. There is a part of you that you could not live without. In fact, one of these days, God's going to yank your soul out of your body and your body's going to go to the grave. Okay? That's what happened. And as we've been studying this issue of the soul, we are getting some understanding that the way we are, the way we act, whether or not we are saved or lost, where we're going to spend eternity has everything to do with what God put in us, and that is our soul. Our soul is our life. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, there went up a mist, and the Lord God, that's verse 6, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. If you look back in verse 26 of the previous chapter, this is how God made us. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And He's saying us here, He's using the plural because God is the Father, the Son or the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He is those three, and yet He is one. That is beyond my comprehension and my understanding, and yet I just believe what the Bible says about it. When you run into something like that and you don't understand something in the Bible, just believe it. God will give you understanding. God will give you help. But He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. When God made us, He used the dirt of the ground, but He imparted into us that breath of life, and He gave us a living soul on the inside of us. So your soul now is your life. That's, and we covered that before. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, he's referring to Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Job 33 backs that up. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. They see he connected them together. His life is his soul. Psalm 26:9, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. Now, before I go any farther, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's pray. You pray for me. My mind's running all over the place this morning, and I want to just kind of stick with the notes and stick with the message, be able to relay this to you in such a way as to give you help and give you understanding. We're going to talk about sickness and healing this morning, but we're going to deal with it on the soul level, not the physical. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God for help this morning, all right? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, that You would bless, Lord, this message. Whether it represents my best effort or my worst effort, I pray, dear God, that Your Word, Your living Word, would go into the hearts and the minds, the lives of these people, Lord, that have gathered here. Some have traveled many miles. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless them. Father, they've come to this place, Lord, seeking bread of life, and I have none. So, Lord, we beseech You, we come to You, and we pray to You, God, that You would rise, that You would give us bread, because, Lord, we are on a long journey. We're on this long journey through life, a long road. And, Father, sometimes we think we're not going to make it. But, Father, Lord, the road leads to heaven. The road leads to eternal life. And the road gets hard and we get weary. And so, Father, we've come to You this morning for rest and for refreshment. And I pray, Lord God, that You would grant it to us this morning. All of those that are gathered with us online, they consider this their church, me their pastor. Lord, I take that seriously, and I pray that You'd bless them this morning. Father, for the people in Kenya, Lord, I just love them. You put them in my heart, God. And Lord, I never want to not be able to minister to those good people out there. So, Lord, bless them this morning. And Lord, just visit upon our hearts. Teach us some things, God, that we need to know. Remind us, God, of things that we forgot. Lord, help us and give us understanding of Your Word. Help me to preach this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I have permission to read this letter. Several years ago, a man and his wife, they got in contact with our ministry, John and Patty. And when I had my first meeting up in New York, they came and they met me there, and it was just a blessing to meet them. They bought my wife a I Love New York t-shirt. I'll never forget that, all right? But anyway, it was just a blessing to meet them, and they have been in contact with us over the years. They're watching this morning. They found him a good church to go to, but that pastor has resigned that church, and he is raising support to go to Africa for some mission work out there. She sent me an email here several weeks ago and said that they found cancer in her, and it was pretty serious. And they had heard about a clinic down in Tijuana, Mexico, and they have traveled down there, and they are there this morning. And it looks like the treatment that she's undergoing is working, but we're going to leave that in the Lord's hands. But I want to read this to you because it had a lot to do with what we're going to talk about this morning. Hi, Pastor Mike. This is John and his wife, what did I just say? Patty Stipek. I got it here in front of me. I can't read it. But anyway, he said, I've been wanting to email you for quite some time, but I've been so busy taking care of my wife. As I've heard you say, quote, I'm an idiot. I need my wife. Apparently, I've said that before. As you know, she's been sick for quite some time, and we are in Tijuana now for 5 weeks. I have to assume that Patty told you our former pastor is traveling around the country seeking support on his way to Swaziland. We hope you get to meet him, for he will be in Missouri sometime. Anyway, when he left us, he told us that Patty and I will most likely have to really step it up in the church. After all, we're one of the oldest couples there and are equipped to disciple new believers. Well, as normal human beings would, we both took a big gulp and looked at each other and wondering what God would have for us to do. What we went through the past 2 years with me being the treasurer in the church was two times We were in debt on past due rent. Both times we cried out to God to help us, so we know man can do nothing without Him, without God. The first time my mindset was that I know He can do it, but my humanity still had a tiny bit of doubt on how God was going to do it. And then our Savior answered the prayers anyway. He said the next year our debt was twice as much. Our faith was increased for the first time, from the first time, but the human mind still says, how? That's normal. It's normal to believe in God and not understand how He's going to do something. That's just let Him do it. Amen? God will open up the way in the Red Sea for you. So he said, my mind still says, how? And he said, the Lord proceeded to save the soul of a man who was a former Roman Catholic, sent him to our church, and he possessed an account that it was some money that he had saved back that he was going to give to the Catholic Church. And he said, just out of the blue, he decided to give it to ours. And he said, it was exactly what we needed to pay the debt off. Okay? Those of you who know God works that way, say amen. Okay? That's just how He does it. So he said, all that being said, these were the tests that God put Patty and I through to bring us to this point in dealing with her cancer. All I could remember was my former pastor preaching on Mark 11, not to doubt when you pray. And when I couple that with the Gospels where Jesus healed those who had true faith in their heart, my heart was prepared for what was ahead. Come down here knowing fully that Jesus will heal my wife. This is just another example of how trials increase our faith. You listen to this man. He's telling you how it works. And he said, let's see here. He said, when we get home, we would be prepared to help and disciple whoever God sends to our church. I knew in my heart when we were coming down here that this was a missions trip for me while my wife could be healed. So my church sent me, a nice box of Spanish gospel tracts and the book of John and Romans in Spanish. He said, I've given so many out and had so many of the most amazing witness opportunities since I've been here. It has been a gift of the Lord has given me to encourage others, talking about his wife. So that's what I do here along with prayer. What he wants, he's asking us to pray for her, pray for him and his wife. She has a disease in her body. It's cancer. And this man has decided that he just in faith is believing that God is going to heal his wife. He's kind of like me. I don't want to live without her. I don't want to be without my wife. I want her with me every day, every night. That's what I want. And I understand it. God's dealing with him and using him in a mighty way to be a witness to others. Do we believe, let me ask you the question, here's why I read this. Do we believe that God can heal cancer? God can heal any kind of disease in our body. Amen? Christ is so good at it, He even healed death. And He did it just to show that He could do it. Because Lazarus had been in there for 4 days. And Jesus went to God and said, Father, we're going to show these people exactly what You can do. And with the Word of God Himself coming out of His mouth, Lazarus come forth. God healed death. Somebody say amen. Now, while there are some, and I'm not saying this couple is like this, I appreciate their testimony. And he said I could read that for you. There are some, you'll see them on TV, they'll always emphasize every place in the Bible about healing and say, God wants you healed. God wants you whole. He doesn't want any sickness and disease in your body. There are even some who will attach physical healing with salvation and say, well, if you didn't get healed, obviously you're not saved. And if you're saved, then you should never have any sickness or disease. That's not true. Can I hear God's people say amen? Doesn't always work that way. But here's something I want you to focus on this morning. Though I have issues in my body, I found out Friday that I still have spikes in my blood sugar. I have not totally beaten diabetes. I still have it. still have a bad back. My hips are hurting pretty bad today. I get headaches, all kinds of things. And as life goes on with me, I will have more and more ailments down the road that will affect me. One of them is going to kill me. Don't know which one it is, but it's going to kill me. Now, I can't think of how, when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that death is all that bad, because after all, you get to go to heaven when you die. Somebody say amen. I know it hurts the people around, and I get that, and I'm all, but I'm just saying to you, at some point, something's going to take life from me. And I have asked God at times, God, heal me of this. God, heal me of that. I've asked God to heal others. God, heal this person. God, heal that person. Is any among you sick? James said, let him come before the elders. They anoint his head with oil and pray. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, James said. And we've done that here. Prayed for people to be made whole. Prayed for family members. Prayed for some in my family to be made whole. And I'm all for that. But out of all the diseases and sicknesses that I have had, have now, or will have in the future, there is none that I'm more concerned about than a disease that I have in my soul. See, your body can be sick, that's one thing. When your soul is sick, you're in trouble. If this body dies out on me, which it will, I still have great and precious promises from God that my soul will live on. That's why we're here. Amen? This is why we are here, why we believe what we believe, why we preach what we preach. But if that disease in your soul does not get healed, you not only will lose this life, you'll lose the next one for all of eternity. There's no second chances after death, my friend. Who believes that? Say amen. Here's what David said. Psalm 38:4. David said, mine iniquities are gone over my head. I want you to picture that in your mind. You standing in a pool of your own iniquities. And the iniquities have gone over your head. You know what that means? You're about ready to perish. My iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. How many of you would say amen to that one? You cannot carry sin without buckling down underneath it. It's too hard for you to carry, too hard for you to deal with. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness, he said. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Look at verse 7. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. He talks about his iniquities, talks about the burden of his sin that's too heavy for him. And he recognizes now that he has a disease as a result of it. We could understand a disease of the loins without me going too far with that. We know that there are several examples of that. When you practice iniquity against God's commandments, you can expect for those iniquities to wear down, then destroy your body. How many of y'all know that? If you'd have lived a cleaner life for the last 30 years, you might be in better shape physically, mentally, emotionally. You might be. But I think also David is referring to a different disease that afflicts him and affects him. We know by way of Scripture that David was a very lustful man. So much so, he's on the porch, the roof of his house, watching women take a bath, lusting after them. He then commits adultery, then murder. God catches up with him. He can't carry the sin. but he recognizes that he has a disease. Leviticus chapter 4. Verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin. Open that up in your Bible. Underline that. Make a note on that. If a soul shall sin. Can your soul sin? Absolutely. It can reject God's mercy, God's grace, God's offer of salvation. It can reject that, disbelieve it, walk on as if nothing's more important than the next party or the next beer or the next bedroom or the next stack of money. Nothing's more important than that. Your soul can do that. Remember, your soul is who you really are on the inside. Whatever you try to cover it up with on the outside, it's your soul that either wants to go to heaven or it wants to keep on partying. That's your soul. And your flesh, you know which side your flesh is going to be on, right? Want to party? Sure, let's go! Woo! That's your flesh. If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done and shall do against any of them, things that ought not be done, your soul. Psalm 41:4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Now look at the words here. Hear, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Now it's connected. Psalm 41:4, you have it right there in front of you. Heal my soul, for I have sinned. Now, and again, I'm not. I enjoyed John and Patty. I enjoyed their fellowship, their company. They have blessed me in this ministry here, and I appreciate it. They're watching this morning, I believe. And I believe that they're going to do everything they can to beat this disease, but they're putting their faith and their reliance and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all for that. But if God heals you one day, just as sure as I'm standing here, there will come another day when this body will give in. Do you believe that? Everybody dies. Everybody does. And while there's a billboard up here on 141 and 21 of this big mega church pastor, Crank, standing next to his buddy Joel Osteen. You know what he's doing? He's using Joel to get people to his church. That's like pathetic. You know? It's like, look who I'm buddies with. But their whole message is you should be healthy, wealthy, look good, feel good, act good all the time, never do anything wrong, never have any mistakes, and have a Barbie doll for a wife. That's their message. And if they want to focus on that, they are welcome to it. They are welcome to have all the world's wealth and all the world's health. They're welcome to have every bit of that stuff. Because if that's what it cost me to have my soul healed of its loathsome disease, then I'll pay that price. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul needs to be healed. You can get healed in the body all you want to, medically, spiritually, or whatever. But your soul has sinned against God, and it needs to be, the disease of the soul is sin. We get a cold, which is a virus that invades our body. If you're not careful, pneumonia sets in, and it could kill you. There are other things that entering into our body afflict this body, and they're trying to kill it. That's what diseases do. They try to kill us. Were it not for a doctor's intervention a few years ago, I was pushing my blood sugar to a point to where I was in danger of dying. My disease could have taken my life. It may yet. Just as any disease on this earth can kill the body, the disease of sin will kill your soul. Ezekiel 18:20. Look at it. Look at it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the disease of the soul. And here, John and Patty, bless their heart, they've given up everything to travel down for this medicine that they're getting down there, because they want to live. He wants her to live. She wants to live to be with Him. I get that. Why would somebody then spend all their money? I'm not talking about them. I love them. I love that testimony. But I'm not talking about people out here. They'll spend money. They'll spend thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars on medicine, on doctors, on surgery, on everything else. And I'm not knocking that. But they'll spend all that money to try to get this body to live longer or live better, and yet not pay one bit of attention to a very deadly disease that they have in them called sin. They'll just ignore it and think it'll go away. That's how some people I know deal with diseases. They think, well, if I ignore it, it'll go away. It won't. If you ignore your own soul disease, it will not go away. Proverbs 8:36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. There's your disease. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Think about that. You ever had an infection? You ever had a sore that got away from you? Infection, germs entering in. They will try to kill you. And when we see that, we look at it and say, man, that thing is corrupt. It stinks. It's swollen. It's red. It's got a fever to it. Something's wrong with that. This thing is going to kill me. And yet we neglect that our soul is down in a pit of corruption. And if we don't ask God to save us, if we don't ask Jesus, the healer, to come and heal us, that's exactly where we'll spend eternity, is down in that pit of corruption. Isaiah 53:4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for what? Why was Christ wounded? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. You know what that means? You should have been the one to receive the chastising. You should have been the one to receive the scourge as they laid that on Jesus' back, ripping hunks of skin and flesh and meat off of His back, blood running down His legs. You should have been the one to get that, not Christ. But Christ willingly took that for you. And then He said, with His stripes we are healed. Somebody say amen. Now listen to me. There's some that will say, see, the cross was all about giving us healing and having us, we'll have a whole well body, never have disease. Listen, they say that stuff, but let me tell you something. It doesn't work that way, and we know it. Amen. I had a lady, and bless her heart, she's still there. I call her Dixie. She calls me every now and then. She's got a lung disease that is going to kill her. She had a friend of hers coming to her saying, the reason why you got that lung disease, you don't have enough faith to have God heal it. That's your problem. You don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. And there was a lady that I knew that died of cancer. And people told her family, she just didn't have enough faith to keep on living. She didn't have enough faith to heal that. Let me tell you something. When I get sick and when you get sick, I got more faith then than I do when I'm standing up well. Somebody say amen. I rejoice in mine iniquities, David said. Or my, not iniquities. What's the word I'm looking for? Infirmities. Boy, that is a big difference. That was a mistake. since life's live, he can't go back and fix it. I rejoice in my infirmities. Why? Because when I'm laying there moaning and grunting, and Lisa will tell you, I moan and whine and fuss. I'm awful. But I lay there and me and God talk. I tell God what's wrong with me. I tell God things that I don't like. God tells me, chastises me a little bit. God corrects me. God heals me. God does things for me. All the while I'm sick, God is working on my soul. And that's where I want Him. The cross, and it's made plain in these verses. He's carried our sorrows. He was stricken and smitten of God. He was afflicted. He was wounded. Not because we had a virus or a bacteria in our body. He was wounded because we've got transgression. He was bruised, not because we had some sort of little blood leak in our veins. He was bruised for our iniquities. It is by His stripes then, the stripes of the scourge laid on His back. It is because of what Christ did on the cross that you and I can have healing in our soul. And again, don't get me wrong. For God to heal somebody physically, I'll shout and I'll praise God and I'll rejoice and all kinds of things. But if I were to have a choice of choosing physical healing or soul healing, I'll choose soul healing every day. I will. Because I know what's in me. And I know what Christ had to do for my benefit. Turn to Psalm 107. I want you to see this. Boy, this is good. Jimmy, I'm about out of tea. Why don't you run down the store and get me another one? Tonight, he's probably thinking, man, if I go get him tea, he'll never quit preaching today. I know that. Now, I didn't ask for a vote. Listen, you need to know this. You need to know this. John and Patty went down to Mexico, and I don't know what all they're doing down there, but apparently they've heard it had good success. When we are sick in our body, we take medicine. Right? And there's nothing wrong with it. The Bible talks about a healing balm and medicine. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine, the Bible says. Okay? So, we get a headache or get a little backache, take some Tylenol, some ibuprofen. You got high blood pressure, there's medicine you take for high blood pressure. I had, up until I had surgery, I was taking menacing. It was a huge pill I took every day just to make sure that I didn't die from too much sugar in my blood. Had to take the medicine. Some take medicine for physical maladies. Some take medicine for emotional maladies. And I'm not against that either. For the most part, I'm not against that. Okay? You say, well, our forefathers didn't have that medicine. No, they just got drunk. Okay? So I'm not necessarily opposed to that either. The brain is an organ just like the rest of your organs are. Okay? But here's what I'm telling you. That medicine that you take does not fix your soul disease. God does have a medicine for it. You're looking at it. Psalm 107, verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. See that word distresses? You see that word? There's a hidden word in there. Stress. Can save you out of your stress. How many of you believe that? How does He do it? He's doing it right now. Listen. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. And break their bands in sunder. Bonds, ropes, cords, anything that has you in bondage, God is able to break the cords. Somebody say amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. You could be dying right now and declare to the world, God is Even if He doesn't heal my body, God heals my soul. Somebody say amen. And I have been with God's saints. Betty Walsh, I'll never forget as long as I live. Lee Walsh. Hospital called me and said, they're asking you to come over here. I was there that day, and you told me, he said, now, Mike, he's kind of talking all over the place. He ain't, you know, just wanted you to be prepared for it. And when I walked that room, Betty looked at me, and he sat up, and we started talking. And then all of a sudden, and I joined with him. And when he got done praying, he said, I just wanted to know for sure that I was going to heaven when I died. And they called me that night, about 11:30, Sunday night, and they said, Lee Walsh is going home to be with the Lord. Even in his sickness, he was a testimony. There was probably 4, 5, 6 people in that room, if I remember right. And every one of them heard. But listen, I want from my life, the very last thing you hear from me is me talking to Jesus. I don't think there's any better way that I could leave this world. What I'm telling you is that God has medicine for your disease. And even if the medicines of this world do not work, you can still rejoice and give praise to the Lord God Almighty that He gave you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, listen, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. There it is right there. You see that? Now, that operates on the reason why we have diseases and pain and heartache and trouble and everything else is because of the curse of sin. That is, we are fighting off the corruption of our own bodies even as we're sitting here. How many of you know that? Say amen. And at some point, the corruption is going to take over. You're fighting it off, right? That's the first level. But the other part of it is, you are afflicted in your soul because of your transgression. Verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. What is it that heals the soul of its disease? He sent His Word and healed them. Woo! Listen, if you know me, and you know, if you call me or you let me know that something's going on in your life, what am I going to tell you? What do I tell them? You need to go to the medicine cabinet. You need some pain relievers. You need some antidepressants. You need some medicine that'll make you joyful and make you happy. And all of it is in your Bible. Usually, it's going to be in the book of Psalms. That's just what I tell people. I got it. Psalms and Proverbs are the medicine cabinet of God. When you need relief from your pain, read some Bible verses out of Psalms. Read some chapters out of Psalms. When you need an antidepressant, read the book of Psalms. When you need a big lift on you, and you're just kind of down in the dumps, read something out of the book of Psalms. God will lift you back up. He sent His Word and healed them, the Bible says. And delivered them from their destructions. You know what that is? Delivered it from all the ways you tried to destroy your own body. Somebody say amen. Roy's like, another one. I ain't near dead enough yet. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Might be a good idea, if out here in the front yard next to the church sign, we put up another sign that said, Bethel Hospital. Okay? Bethel Hospital. This is a place where sick people come. And I can't think of anybody sicker than the people I'm looking at right now. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Why are you... It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came down, sat down with Him and His disciples. Can you imagine that? Jesus, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Holy One of Israel, sitting down with a bunch of stinky, drunk harlots, publicans, sinners, reek of sin. Jesus, sit right down next to them. Can you imagine that? Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they need not a physician, but they that are sick. Where do the doctors in this county go? Go over here to the hospital. Why? It's where the sick people are. Doctors are supposed to work to heal the sick. You have a physician who stands ready to heal your soul's diseases. He is going to be the one that will come to you. I mean, it's like, think about it. If you told everybody, the last 3 days you've had this terrible, bad virus that's got vomiting and other stuff with it, and you're sneezing all the time, and you just can't hardly breathe, and yet you decided to come to church that Sunday. I guarantee you there's going to be a big ring of emptiness between you and everybody else in the church house. Why? We don't want that, right? And yet, where does the doctor go and the nurse? Right to where the sick people are. You come to Bethel Church because you are sick and you need a physician in your soul. Amen? They that be whole, or they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. See, he connected it right there with what he was talking about. He's not necessarily talking about the diseases of the body. He's talking about mercy and the forgiveness of sin, because sin is your disease. And it's killing you. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What's what's the medicine? What's the thing that you do to get healed? You repent. And God sends His Word and He heals you very quickly. I'm gonna read these verses and I'm gonna move through this and I'm gonna buzz out. I've kind of had one of those days where I think this is probably the worst message I've ever preached in my whole life, and I can't wait till I get done and I can erase it off the hard drive so nobody has to endure it again. Okay? That's just how I think. I know the devil's been resisting many of us this week. Psalm 119, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. There it is right there. Psalm 119:28, my soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Psalm 119:50. All these verses out of Psalm 119. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse 106, very much quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. What's the medicine you need to take? It's the word, Scotty. What's the medicine when things are not going well in your marriage? It's the word of God. What's the medicine when there's all kinds of disruption in your house? The Word of God. What's the medicine when, like I had a couple years ago out in Kenya, devils climbing all over me? That's like viruses trying to get me. What's the medicine? The Word of God. They don't like the Word of God. It's my antibiotic. It is my healing balm. It is my soothing salve. It is the one that takes the pain away, puts the joy back, puts the little pep in my step. It's better than Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, quick dissolving, fast tasting green and purple pills. Somebody say amen. It's better than all of that. It's better than X-Lax, Pepto-Bismol. Pleasant words, Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. Did you see that? Most medicine people don't like to take. Why? Tastes bad. Tastes awful. God's Word does not. God's Word tastes like honeycomb. It's sweet and it's pleasant. And when you get that in you, God's going to do some things for you. And I want to say this, and then I want to... Okay? Who in here takes medicine on a daily basis? Raise your hand. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. When you take the medicine, what is it that you have to do after you swallow it to make the medicine work? Nothing. The medicine was designed from a billion-dollar fund that the pharmaceutical company had to sit and develop this medicine in their laboratories. Clinical tests were done. It was designed to go into your body, do a very specific thing. And when you swallow the medicine, there's not one thing afterward that you do to make that medicine to work. You get what I'm saying? Once it's in, it does what it's supposed to do. Does that make sense to everybody? That's your Bible. When you're down, read your Bible. When you're not feeling well spiritually, read your Bible. When you have transgressed the laws of God Himself, your antidote, your healing balm, is the Word of God. It will quicken you. It will give you life back. It will fight the diseases. It will heal your soul.